Sunday. If you're visiting with us for the first time, please fill out the guest card in the pew rack in front of you and place it in the offering plate a little later in the service. We would like to have a record of your visit. Thank you to the Senior Adult Ministry for the ladies' luncheon yesterday, and thank you to the Baptist men for the breakfast this morning. Please remember the family of Debbie Hurley. Her graveside service will be in our cemetery tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. If you are planning on going on the Kentucky mission trip the last week of July, please confirm with me or Maureen today before you leave. Just for information, we will be having deacon elections this summer. Please review the deacon covenant the church adopted and be praying for who you would like to nominate in June. That's coming up before you know it. Not in the bulletin, but please, Missions Prayer Circle. The Missions Prayer Circle will meet tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Calling your attention to a couple of announcements that are in the bulletin. You see the announcement that Taylor, our new associate pastor, will be relocating the beginning of June. Her first Sunday with us will be June the 4th, but she will be moving here June the 3rd, and if any can help her move, please see Gary or Bill Bovair to let them know that you could help bring stuff off the trucks and cars and things into their new apartment. Also, the Baptist men are going to Goldsboro to help with Matthew relief. If you are interested or need more information about that, please see Davis in the fellowship hall immediately after worship. Also,
there's a sign-up list for that in the...
Yeah, there's a sign-up in the atrium, and also Davis needs to get you a medical release form today if you can see him as well. And if you are a graduate or have a graduate or know of a graduate in our church, please let the church office know immediately. That's a whole lot of things, but anything else needs to come before us this morning. If not, please prepare your hearts as we are called into worship this morning.
Right, we're going to do this song as our preparation for worship. We're doing baptism today, so I'd like to have a choir of the whole. Hymn number 362. Let's stand as we sing.
Baptized in water, still my love. Sacred waters, not because of the water themselves,
but because of the faith that brings us to these waters, our mind goes back to when Jesus found John the Baptizer baptizing in the River Jordan. And he made his way down into the water, and when John recognized who it was, he said, "I am so unworthy." And I know exactly how John felt then, as I feel even now. To disturb these holy waters, no one is worthy. But Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so now." And when Jesus left this world, he said, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Taking those two moments at the beginning of Christ's ministry and at the end, right before his ascension, we come to this place. It is said when Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters that the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and lit upon his shoulder, and a voice from heaven was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is about to say, for you will hear him say, "This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." Emily, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and in obedience to his command, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, when these waters are disturbed, all of heaven rejoices. And on this day, when we think especially of family, we are grateful for this one who has proudly said she belongs to you, and she has publicly proclaimed her faith by disturbing these waters. For those of us, Lord, who have already followed you in baptism, would this be a time for us to reflect back on our commitment to you? And Lord, if there's one here today who has never followed you in this act of obedience, may today be the day they decide to follow you faithfully. We pray for Emily and the decision that she has made, that you would strengthen her now as she walks through the rest of her life as your special daughter. We make this prayer and now offer our worship in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll continue our worship with singing.
Hymn number 504, "God Give Us Christian Homes." Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the wonderful mothers in this world, Lord. We ask that you be with them and continue to help them as they raise children. We also ask that you be with the Hurley family as they grieve their loss, Lord. And we ask that you take these tithes and use them to further thy kingdom. In the holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls. We have a nice group today. I'm so glad. Well, if you were here last Sunday, you know that I mentioned Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter. And it wasn't any of those, was it? But today, it is a special day. What is today's special day? Mother's Day. Mother's Day, that's right. We're going to honor mothers today, aren't we, all over? And tell your mom how special she is. I brought some things today that remind you and me of mothers. The first thing I brought was a box of oatmeal. You know, for my breakfast, I don't know about you, but I just love to have a chocolate-covered donut. But Mama says no, that wouldn't be a good breakfast. It's not healthy for us, is it?
No.
It doesn't make us strong. So Mom says no because she loves us. Because she loves us. So that's why. All right. Then I brought a book. Does that remind you of your mom? Mom says that you have to do your homework first. You can't play on your phone. You can't do anything else until you do your homework first. Because your mom knows that your education is the most important thing of all. That's why she makes you do that. The next thing I brought was a clock. Moms always want to know where you are, when you're going to get back, and if you go to somebody else's house, she wants to know exactly when and where. That's because she wants you to be safe. You got to be safe. That's right. Okay, and then I brought some dishwashing detergent. Always got to have that, right? And other things. She wants everybody in the family to help with the chores. And sometimes, when I was growing up, I don't think there was any child labor laws. Because I did all I did all kinds of stuff. And once in a while I think, well, that's not fair for me to have to do that. But you know what? I was wrong. Because I grew up and I knew how to do things. I learned to be responsible because my mother loved me and she wanted me to have good habits. So I'm thankful for that. Listen to this verse in Proverbs. It's chapter 1, verse 8. Listen carefully to what it says about moms and dads, too. It says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Do not stop doing your mother's teachings. Now, I'm going to tell you 10 things, and if you do these 10 things, I'm going to tell you what, your mother will know that you really, really love her. I'm going to do a countdown. Ready? Mm-hmm. 10, make your bed. 9, pick up your clothes. 8, keep your room clean. 7, take out the trash. 6, help her fix dinner. 5, set the table. 4, help with the dishes. 3, don't fuss with your brothers and sisters. That's going to be hard. 2, give her a gift that you made all by yourself. I didn't say something expensive, did I? Something you made all by yourself. And 1, obey her when she tells you to do something. That's your top 10 list that mom wants you to do. And if you do those 10 things, you will be showing her that you love her. Now, she knows, she loves for you to say, "I love you," but you have to show her. She wants you to show her. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. Well, Jesus wants you to say, "I love you," to him, too. He wants to hear it. But you know what? Jesus also wants you to show him. How do you show Jesus you love him? Okay. How? How do you show Jesus? Buck, how do you show Jesus you love him?
You gotta say, "I love you."
I love you. That's right. And come right here where you are. Okay.
I said that.
So, when you go back to your seat, I want you to give your mom a great big hug. And when you get home, I want you to do all those 10 things. And during worship, I want you to silently tell God that you love him. And I want you to show him that you love him by the way you act. Follow his teachings. Okay? All right. We have to have our prayer now.
I know.
Okay, one more time. Quick. You know. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Close your eyes. We're going to have our prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for these boys and girls. And most of all, thank you so much for the mothers. Mothers love us so much, and they try to teach us and prepare us for life. And Lord, we thank you for Emily, who made a great decision today to serve you. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Can I go back to my seat?
Yes.
You win some, sometimes you lose some, but right now I'm losing bad. I sit on this stage night after night, reminding the broken. broken, it'll be all right. But right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. So what can I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone.
Thank you for keeping that real for us, that God is with us and He's always good. Today is Mother's Day, and our tradition of the last several years has been to say a special prayer for moms. I've seen a lot of pictures. In fact, I posted a couple myself of my mom and my mother-in-law on Facebook today, and for some of us, this is a time of remembering. For others, it's a time of honoring. I used to tell this story, but now that there's no such thing as landlines, not really anymore. They used to say that this was the day that there were more phone calls made than any other day of the year. And on Father's Day, there were more collect calls made than any other day of the year. But some of you say, what does that mean? And you don't even have an understanding of that. But if you're here today and you're a mom, and you're in the church and you're a mom, and some who maybe have never given birth to a child, but you're in the church, you're a mom. And I'm going to show you in Scripture where I believe that's true in our text today. I would invite you now to stand. Moms, please stand. I learned years ago to never say, all I can do is pray for you. Because when you're praying for someone, I don't know of a better gift you can give them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is your place. Flat Springs Baptist Church decided in 1905 that this would become sacred ground. Because a group of believers would gather here faithfully and we would worship you and praise your name. And so today on this hallowed ground, we have gathered as is our tradition, as is our habit, as is our joy to worship you. And now moms are standing before you, O Lord, grateful for the privilege of motherhood. Grateful, Lord, for children. Grateful, Lord, for the opportunity on this special day in your special presence to commend and commit ourselves again to the role of being a parent. And whether that means of a newborn or of a toddler or of a pre-adolescent or, God help us, an adolescent, or a young adult, or we are the parent of a middle-aged or senior adult, we recognize that being a mom is a forever job. And it is good to be in this place. And on this moment, Lord, I ask your blessing to be upon them, that you would strengthen them with their unique role and their special responsibility to be an example, to be a trendsetter, to be a direction pacer, to be one who shows what love unconditional looks like. Strengthen them, O Lord, for this their task. We are grateful as a church family to be blessed with spiritual moms, some standing, some sitting, and for the role we have to walk together as people of faith. And Lord, we pause on a moment like this because we know there may be someone in the worship center that today is a bittersweet day. Maybe because of the recent loss of a mom. Or maybe because of the absence of a mom. Or maybe because of a mom who was not the example that we needed her to be. And so, Lord, in this time of prayer, we pray for your healing. And we pray for your strength. And we recognize that we are your sons and daughters. And you are our great parent. And for that, we are eternally thankful. Receive this prayer. And God, receive these moms into your blessed and holy care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, moms.
Who perfect love. Let's do the first and the third. Let's stand as we sing, please.
going to be reading a little, something a little different than what's written in the bulletin. These are selected verses from Psalms 139. O Lord, you have examined me, and you know me. You alone know when I sit down and when I get up. You read my thoughts from afar. You are all around me, in front of me, and in behind me. You lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is beyond my grasp. It is so high I cannot reach it. Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I run to get away from you? You alone created my inner being. You knitted me together inside my mother. I will give thanks to you because I have been so amazingly and miraculously made. Your works are miraculous, and my soul is fully aware of this.
This morning, as we pray, I am grateful for the offertory meditation Gail and Regina did. They came and told me they were dedicating that. My youngest granddaughter is being dedicated this morning. And yes, Jesus loves me. This I know. I appreciate that. John Floyd, it is good to see you in the worship center today. Y'all can stop praying for John. Not really. We are grateful that what seemed a little scary turned out to be something that is under control right now. We're grateful for that. You'll also see the name of Brian Caldwell. Brian served for several years as a youth minister, youth pastor at First Baptist, and he is involved in a battle with cancer and has had a very difficult surgery. We need to keep Brian lifted up in our prayers. You see T.J. Hill, who's undergoing some testing in these next few days and weeks. We want to keep him lifted up. And you'll see a name on the ongoing list, and that's the name of Debbie Hurley. Debbie would always tell me, I want to get off this list. I want to get off this list. Well, this is the last time she'll be on this list, because her name has now been recorded in another place. She's on a different list today. That service will be tomorrow, a graveside service at 11 o'clock. We want to be remembering the family. They have asked that today be a day that we celebrate with our moms and we give them some space. And I'm sure we can all understand that need. And so they will be here tomorrow, and immediately following the graveside service, we'll meet in our fellowship hall. There'll be a time of meeting and greeting with them there. I know you'll keep them in your prayers. Remember our team that's going to be going to Goldsboro. That's where they ask us to go. That's where people are still devastated from Hurricane Matthew so many months ago. And we're going to go in Jesus' name and try to help them pick up some pieces. So we pray not only that we'd be able to help maybe fix something that's broken in an earthly sense, but we pray we might be able to speak the name of Jesus and there might be spiritual repair as well. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day. And our heart hurts for those that are mourning a time that is normally set aside to celebrate. And Lord, we come realizing that there are challenges in this world, but there is the promise of a world to come. And so we come today to proclaim that world to come. We come to proclaim that Jesus has conquered sin and death and has been saying, Lord, it is well with my soul, because when our faith is steadfastly planted in you, the storms of this earth are no match. Be with these we have mentioned. Use us as instruments of your grace and of your mercy, that we might be your hands and feet, your love, your words, your heart, as we reach out in love to those who need. Now continue to guide us as we worship and praise your name. In Christ's name we pray.
Wednesday, the choir shared with you a prayer of David, King David, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Today we're singing a prayer from St. Francis of Assisi, "Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace." Both of these prayers are very difficult to carry out. And I pray that as you make them part of your own being, that you will seek to fulfill both of these prayers.
Instrument of thy peace.
Thank you, choir. And thank you, Ben. Two powerful messages in song. Open with me to John's Gospel, the 19th chapter. I've been doing this going on almost four decades. You'd think by now I'd be better, wouldn't you? And I don't know that I've ever preached this passage on Mother's Day before. But I believe that as I was living with the text this week, that God may have given me a thought, and He gave me at least a thought I've never thought before or ever read before. And I'll be honest with you, it's very few of those thoughts I have. It's a glimpse into love in the darkness. Jesus is dying in our text. He's on the cross. He's already been tortured. He's already been humiliated. He's already been sentenced to death. He's already been nailed to the cross. And there He hangs for about 6 hours in agony, and what felt like to Him defeat, and yet in His heart He knew He was winning the victory of all humanity. And in the midst of that moment, we find our text. It's found in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. We're going to begin to read in verse 25, and we're going to read simply through verse 27. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's Word. And we're going to start our text right in the middle of a sentence. Don't you love it when preachers do that? But standing by the cross of Jesus were His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Three women. And when Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved, and as far as the text tells us, the only disciple of the 12. One is dead. Judas is dead. The other 10 have run in the fear of the moment. And when Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. May God add to His reading of His word and grant us understanding. Would you pray with me? God, may this brief statement, one of the seven words from the cross, speak to us in a new way this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you have ever gone out to eat on Mother's Day? So I got a word for you. Just relax, okay? You're not, if you go to a restaurant, you're just going to be waiting for another hour and a half. So just relax. It's all good. No, I will be brief this morning. I know our time is shorter. But what a wonderful day of worship we have experienced to this moment. And Remy's here. I haven't even noticed that till right now. That's exciting. Remington is here. Her first day in worship. Amen. Amen. We'll be having a baby dedication, but not right now. A six-year-old boy got separated from his mom. Her name was Martha. In a supermarket. Now you think about that for a six-year-old. And he frantically began to cry, "Martha! Martha! Martha, where are you?" His mother quickly came running and found her son. And she said, "But honey, You've never called me Martha. Why did you call me Martha? To which this very intelligent six-year-old replied, "This place is full of moms, but I wanted you." Well, our world is full of moms. But those who love the Lord are called to be special. You remember Mary, don't you? You remember the announcement that the angel came when the conversation was had and her blessing was needed that she might conceive the Son of God. You remember what the angel said? "Mary, blessed are you among women." A holy moment. I want you to remember that moment before Christ was even conceived in her womb. And then I want you to remember this moment that we just read in our text. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and now by ancient days, his aging mom, Mary, probably near 50. And Jesus gives a word. Today's Mother's Day. As we've already mentioned, it can either be a time of great joy and celebrating, or it can be a time of remembering. For others who might not have been blessed with such a wonderful family situation or who've recently lost a mother, it may feel entirely different, and I understand that. And so as my assignment is to bring the word of the Lord to this congregation every Sunday, I thought, Lord, what word could I bring? Should I send all the non-moms home and just preach to the moms? I've never done that before. What do you think? Is there a word that we could honor moms and yet give a word to everybody? That's what I prayed. And well, you can tell me later how we do. But here we have this tender moment. When Jesus, in the pain and agony of the cross, is forced to economize his words because he's using all his strength to breathe. And Scripture records 7 statements. And I can't help but believe, had he made 8 statements, Scripture would have recorded them. Had he made a dozen statements, Scripture would have recorded them. Because this was the moment when history changed. This is the moment, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon and forgiveness of your sins, you need to understand that what we are reading about in this text is the exact moment that your salvation and my salvation was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And in this moment, we find this short interchange. And Jesus, no doubt, took the deepest breath he could take, pushed up against the nails, and said to his mama, "Behold your son." And son, behold your mom. John, the son of Zebedee, is the one that most scholars identify as the beloved disciple. It was John who also is the force behind the Gospel of John. But I've got a question for us this morning. Now, if you've read, especially in the Synoptic Gospels, you'll know that Jesus has been planning this moment. And he's already revealed to the disciples, although they didn't understand, that his hour had come. What did he mean by that? He's saying, guys, this Passover is going to be different than any Passover. This Passover, I'm going to die. Scriptures tell us that they were there almost 8 days before the Passover. And that every day they stayed in Bethany. And every day they would travel from Bethany. The disciples and Jesus, you can see them making the 8-mile walk from Bethany and then 8 miles back. Boy, you'd be in good shape in those days, amen? 16 miles a day for 8 days in a row. But what do? When you're walking on a dusty road, you talk, don't you? I've got a question. And this is the moment I think God gave me. Why in the world would Jesus wait until he was dying on the cross to take care of his mom? You ever thought about that? I hadn't till this sermon. Was Jesus the greatest of all procrastinators? Well, I'm a pretty good procrastinator, and I'd like to say that's a word for us, but I think not. I don't think that it was an afterthought at all. I don't think that Jesus, as he was there in that moment and looked out and saw John standing there and his mom standing there, he thought, oh, I need to do something. I don't think that at all. I think he knew John would be standing there. And I think he knew Mary would be standing there. I think this was one of those divine assignments that he understood. But why? Why wait till then? Why not on the road to Bethany? Why didn't he pull John aside on the road and say, John, come over here. We know John was loving. At the Last Supper, it is John who laid on the breast of Christ, the scriptures record. He was that. He was always in the inner circle. Whenever Jesus would separate the disciples and go a little further, John would always be the one that would go, or at least one of the ones. Why didn't he just pull him off to the side and say, John, if something happens to me, would you take care of mom? I mean, he knew this hour was coming. He knew where he was headed. He knew what was going to happen. He was not surprised or shocked. He was not knocked off his game at all. Why wait till this moment when breath was at such a premium? Why didn't he tell Mary, if something happens to me, or even at this point when he was talking more plainly than that, when something happens to me and I'm no longer able to look after you as the responsibility of the oldest son is, John's going to take that role. If you know ancient times, it was up to the oldest to take care of the aging parents, especially the mom. And the logical choice would be to give it to James, his next in line, the next oldest brother, the one who would become the head of the church. Obviously a good guy. James was a good guy. Why in the world didn't Jesus say, James, you remember, when I'm gone as the oldest and you're the second oldest, you take care of mom. Probably didn't even have to say it. James would have probably automatically done that. Why this strange event? Why am these precious few words that Jesus uttered, some of them just a couple of words, because it was so hard to breathe on the cross? Would he do this now? Before we can get there, we've got to ask ourselves, what does this text teach us? The first thing I think it teaches us is that we got to stand by the cross. We got to stand by the cross. I don't know if you heard me. Let me say it again. We got to stand by the cross. Today, every day when we rise up, we have to make a decision, don't we, of where we're going to stand. Of what's going to be the most important thing in our life. Of how much of our time is going to be spent focused on God and how much is going to be focused on the bank account. Or focused on the agenda. Or focused on getting where we need to be and making sure everybody's in the right place. I mean, sometimes when I look at my calendar, I kind of quiver. It can sometimes be scary. And I think Satan understands that. And he says, I know how I can rob them of their power. I know how I can rob them of being all that they want to be. I can just make them too busy. Fear can sometimes enter into it. What will people think? Will folks start to think I'm one of those fanatics, one of those religious, crazy people? Well, of all the labels in life you might receive, that might not be the worst. Some of the disciples were missing. It's understandable why there was such chaos when Jesus was arrested. Remember Peter, he was not a fearful kind of guy. Peter was rough and tough. I'm sure he probably prescribed the pay-per-view wrestling. He was a big guy. He was a strong guy. He didn't mind a fight. You remember what happened when they came to arrest him? They only had one sword between them. And that probably belonged to Judas the Zealot. And Peter grabbed his sword. He took a shot at Clopas' head, the high priest's servant. And he must have ducked to the side because all Peter got was his ear. But you understand, Peter was ready to die. Peter was ready with one sword, knowing he was outnumbered and outarmed. He was ready to die. But Peter's not at the cross. Peter's not at the cross. Thomas the doubter. You can name all those disciples. You can understand in the chaos of that moment when they began to run. We think it was probably little Mark who they grabbed his robe and he just ran right out naked and left his robe. He kept right on running. It was a weird time. It was a scary time. It was a confusing time. Sound anything like today? Does it sound anything like, what do we do? How do we do family today? How do we raise ourselves up to be those people that are different than all the other people? We got to stand by the cross. John points it out so starkly. There are four people standing by the cross who, through the confusion, who, through the fear, who, through everybody doing everything else, there were four who stood with their Lord. Where will we stand this week? Where will we stand this week? Can we make that a family affair? As for me and my house, we'll stand by the cross. Secondly, we need to see the need. Jesus recognized the need of the family. Hang on to that thought for just a moment. I'm coming back there. The need. There was a need. There was a need in this moment to make sure his mom was taken care of. But I don't want you to believe that that's the first time he thought about that. Their physical needs, and he assigns that to John. But there's a spiritual need of the family, isn't there? You know, sometimes we lose the reality that the most important thing we do as church is pull one another closer to Christ. That's our goal. I wish I could tell you that I'm smart enough that if you just listen to what I say, you would advance your family, but you can't. But if you'll listen to what I say about what God says and hear what God says, your family will be stronger than it's ever been before. See the need. See the need to walk with the Lord every day and talk with Him all the time. It is this powerful scene of Jesus taking care of His mom. And that's still what Christ wants to do. He wants to take care of our family. He wants to take care of my family and your family. And in fact, I think Jesus actually wants to redefine the family. Which brings me to the last point this morning of securing the future. Not only do we have to stand by the cross and see the need as a family to stay connected to Christ, to stay centered in Christ, to make decisions every day that make sure the cross is first and not last in our life. You know what I found? Satan has learned a slick trick. It's quite easy. Let me just kind of lay it out for you. This is free. This is not even in the sermon. Well, it's kind of in the sermon. He's learned that if he were to come and say to any of us, put Jesus last place in your life. Put him last. Go do everything else you want to do. And if there's any time left over, throw the crumbs to Christ. All of us would be appalled by that, amen? We're not going to do that. We'll not live that way. No, we love our Lord. We love our Savior. We'll never put Him last in our life. So you know what Satan learned? He says he's like a lion roaming the land, seeking whom he may devour. You know what he learned? He said, don't put Jesus last in your life. Never put him second. Just put him second. Just put him second behind what's going to happen tomorrow. Put him second on your calendar. Put him second in your prayer time. Put him second. That's almost at the top. Someone has said that second place means you're either the first or the last loser. You ever heard that? And if we put Christ second, you remember what Jesus said? What's the greatest command? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. Stand by the cross. See the need. And then you'll secure the future. Well, I'm back to the first question. Why did Jesus wait till this moment? Why now? Why would Jesus wait to this moment to make this statement? Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Why would he give the responsibility of loving his mom, of taking care of his family to this moment? The real answer is Jesus at this moment, when heaven's hope becomes earth's reality, the moment of salvation, the moment when the world is about to change, Jesus redefines the family. That's what he does. He redefines all the norms. Instead of James, he chooses John. Instead of keeping it in the DNA line, he goes to the beloved disciple, a church member, if you will. You see, Jesus wanted to change the way we see family. I remember the first church I pastored, and there was a dear fellow there named Leonard Honeycutt. And he was one of the ones that did it better than anybody I've ever known. But everybody he met, he would say, well, hello, Brother Gary. Hello, Brother David. Hello, Sister Maureen. Everybody was brother and sister. That's just how he walked. And you know, nobody else in our church did that, not as well as Leonard did, but I've never forgotten. I think that's what Jesus was trying to do at this moment. He was trying to say that when the faith and the family come together, when the faith and the family come together, we redefine family. And suddenly we no longer define family by DNA. But now we define family by faith. And now sons and daughters can mix over bloodlines. And now, as you walk out today, just refer to everybody as your brother or your sister. Or if you're younger and someone's older, refer to them as dad or as mom. Because that is indeed what I think Jesus did. The majesty of this moment is to take this sacred moment when Jesus is literally dying on the cross to look out over the world, and he knew that in just a very few moments he was going to breathe his last breath, and with that sin was going to be conquered and death was going to be overcome and a new order was about to be established for all eternity. And he said, by the way, one of the last breaths I want to breathe is to redefine family as the faith, not the physical. Isn't that a powerful moment? Isn't that a wonderful thought that Jesus on purpose took this moment to say that it is salvation that makes us brothers and sisters? It is our walk with God that makes us all family. And we're to love like that, you and I. We're to love like family. Oh, I want it to be such a family affair that folks say, what is going on in Deep River? There is something weird going on down there. What are those folks drinking? That's what I want. I want folks to say, y'all got special water down there. Is that Deep River water better? Y'all are acting differently. You're talking differently. You're loving differently. You're treating people differently. You're worshiping differently. You're doing everything different. What happened? And then we'll say, I am so glad you asked. Let me tell you what's going on. Do you know what Jesus did on the cross? He died to save your sin. And he died to redefine your family. Wow. How would that be, church? In this day and time when we don't know what the family is anymore in our culture, Jesus redefined it from the cross. And he says, we're all brothers and sisters. We're all family. Mom, behold your son. Son, behold your mom. Like the little boy in the supermarket. Not just any mom. Not just any mom. I need a faith mom. I need a mom who will love me and show me and teach me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I need a mom who will demonstrate for me. I don't need a dad. I don't need a granddad. I don't need a brother. I don't need a sister. I need family. Not defined by my DNA, but by my family. And at that moment, when Jesus breathed his last, he gave us a wonderful glimpse. Folks, if you and I will stand near the cross, if we'll see the need, God will, through us, secure the future. And we can be the pebble in Lee County that ripples out through North Carolina and the United States and the world if we'll love like Jesus and live like Jesus. And walk and talk like Jesus and prioritize like Jesus. It's a family affair. And Jesus redefined it on the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you indeed open our eyes that we might see glimpses of truth you have for us. Maybe there's one here today who doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins. Would today be the day? Maybe there's one here today who recognizes that we have not been standing as close to the cross as we should be. And today we hear your voice calling us to come back. Maybe today we see a need like we've never seen before, to love in a different way, to love like you, to live like you, to walk like you, to talk like you, and to see you change other people and all of that. You know the need of every heart. You know the decision that each of us should make today. May we be faithful doing so. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn is page 502, Open My Eyes That I May See. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart, if God is speaking to your heart, and you need to make some decision for him, would you, as we stand again?
Sorry.
And when you sow God's peace,